desire your prayers tonight. Hasn't it been a wonderful meeting? I'm still rejoicing of even the young people's meeting we had last night. It was all testimonies. And it was quite a pleasure to listen to the young people and their testimonies. And my burden tonight is not just for the young people, it's for all of us. But that those same testimonies can ring clear the rest of this year into next year. And I guess first I ought to introduce myself. I'm Butch Cole from the local Neosho congregation. And some of the local home folks, if you'll forgive me, some of these thoughts are similar to some that I've shared in recent weeks. So please forgive me. But I feel inspired to share this tonight and was thinking of a special song that the young people sang a couple of nights ago, "I'd Never Miss Heaven for the World." That was such a beautiful sight, to see the young people up here singing that song, and you knew they were meaning those words. But there was a particular phrase in that song that says, "I'm going to finish this race to see Jesus' face." Dear ones, isn't that all of our desires here tonight? That we finish this race, that we see Jesus' face someday? But the problem is, we have someone that opposes us. Satan himself. When the scripture talks about him walking about seeking whom he may devour. But again, my burden tonight is not only that we don't lose out on the Lord, but that we also grow and develop in him in being useful vessels in his hand. And not only that, but ultimately, as was already mentioned, that we finish this race with victory. This is done by being empowered by the Holy Spirit. This empowerment by the Holy Spirit is something not of our own. It is something from God himself. It is other terms we can use of being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Scriptures talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit, being sanctified. And tonight, my burden is not necessarily to lay a foundation of the details and the backgrounds of the Holy Spirit, being the second work of grace. But my focus is how that Holy Spirit works, how it empowers us today, in 2020, or in 2020. And to think that, to consider, it's already been mentioned in this meeting, how that there have been some over the years that have gone off. Maybe they've gone astray, left the Lord altogether, or maybe they were deceived, or whatever the case is. But dear ones, that doesn't have to be true for you and I. We have a choice. Remember the scripture says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So part of this is, yes, making a decision to get saved. As Brother Ed brought out the other night with Saul, he had quite a wonderful salvation experience, but he didn't stop at that. He went on and was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was empowered with something more. That enabled him then to leave Damascus and go out and face all the ones that he'd been persecuting. Because, dear ones, without the Holy Spirit, he couldn't have done that. I'm confident of that. Because I don't know what would have happened, but more than likely he would have lost out somewhere along the way. But there was something miraculous took place there. Being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, here's another way of thinking of it as far as spirits. One definition of a spirit would be something, it's a source of life or energy behind something. It could be in thinking of, have you ever heard of someone, maybe you've experienced this yourself, that you kind of lose heart on something. Maybe you've started a task and you've started working on it and you're working by yourself and you're all inspired and encouraged, but then things just don't work out like you had planned. And it just kind of flops on you. But have you ever experienced this where you get a phone call or a text or someone walks in the room or you start a conversation with someone else and maybe it's two or three or several people and they inspire you to go back to that task? And they point out some things that, well, why don't you try this? It's a new perspective. It's a revelation. Oh, I never thought of that before. Or why don't you try that? And maybe they come along and they assist you. And they're like, here, let me show you this. And what happens is you're re-inspired. Yes. And so it's like they renewed your spirit to tackle that task and to complete it. Well, another form of, you think of it this way, a team spirit. It's the same thing happens with a team, whether it's in sports or whatever the case is. Someone out by themselves, they feel kind of lonely and they feel kind of lost and like, I can't handle all this. But then you get a whole bunch of them together. And again, it's a team spirit. It's like, we got your back and we're going to help you out. We're going to continue. We're going to inspire you. We're going to encourage you. And dear ones, that's what the Holy Spirit is about. It's someone that has our back, so to speak, that can go with us individually. And you think about that. That's what happened when Jesus, when he died on the cross, it said the veil was rent in the temple. And it gave us access then to the holiest of holies, to where God's presence was. And that made it then available, ultimately, for you and I, that not only can we get saved, but we can have the Lord's presence, His Holy Spirit, with us every single day of every single year and every minute of every single day. And to think of that, someone that has your back, so to speak, someone that is inspiring you, that's speaking words of encouragement, that's saying, you can do this, or why don't you try this? And the Holy Spirit turns a spotlight on certain little areas, and we'll get to more of that here in a little bit. But I want to get to a couple of scriptures to lay a little bit of foundation. In Luke 11 and 13, remember what it says there? It says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So it's there for the asking. And it's a wonderful, perfect gift that fits every single one of us. Because God knows He created us, and He knows how to custom fit that Holy Spirit and our individual needs that we have. Well, and to think of this too, there's another scripture I want to turn to read where this actually started the process. This is after Jesus is already resurrected. And in Acts, the first chapter, y'all pray for us. These are Jesus' words, Acts, the first chapter. And he had some instructions for his disciples, the apostles there. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He said, you shall receive power. That means something that they didn't have before. And the proof of that was exactly what the disciples had been doing prior to this. Need I give the numerous examples? What happened to Judas? He failed miserably. Peter, he failed miserably. Different ones, the doubting Thomas, the list goes on, and the ones that were trying to get the best position there with Jesus. The list goes on that they were still selfish. Were they saved? Yes, they were walking with Jesus. They believed, but they were lacking something. And Jesus knew that. He knew what the future was in store for them. When he was fixing to leave and ascend to heaven, he's like, they're going to be contested. They're going to be opposed by Satan himself, using all means to try to discourage them and to cause them to give up. Well, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Again, he knew the opposition that was soon to come. And they realized, or Jesus realized, they needed something more to further empower them, not to only overcome issues within themselves, but strength to spread the gospel. And see, that's what's amazing about the Holy Spirit is, it's not just limited to one or two or three or four things. It is unlimited. Whatever your needs are, it can meet those needs. And wherever you're at, whoever you are, it doesn't matter if you've been saved for a few hours, a few days, a few years. All you have to do is ask and seek the Lord for the Holy Ghost, for the Holy Spirit. He promised He would give it to you. But there's more to this. I want to touch on some scriptures in Zechariah, the fourth chapter. Speaking of being opposed, and as I mentioned earlier, I think we all have felt some of that this year, haven't we? Of course we have. But here in Zechariah, the fourth chapter. We have the story here of Zerubbabel, and he was the governor there, and his task was to rebuild the temple. And you all know the story. I'm not going to read all the scriptures. You can find more of the details in the book of Ezra that talks about the process. But I first want to define what being empowered means. Being empowered means authority given to enable. And here's some scriptures I want to read that describe some of this. In Zechariah, the fourth chapter, we'll start with verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, that thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. And verse 9, and the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. So there's several things here to consider. First of all, it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. In other words, it's not by your strength or my own strength. And neither is it by authority given to others in our lives that can come up to you and say, oh, well, I'm going to enable you to do this, or I'm going to instruct you to do that, and that's going to work this way. But no, it's power from on high. It's not a power authority given to someone in a position, whether it's a religious position or a political position or someone in your family. Folks, we're limited. We're just humans. But we're dealing with the Almighty God sending His Holy Spirit, all right, that He can discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts, and He knows our individual weaknesses. He knows our little hang-ups, and He knows the things that can be obstructions in our life. He knows the things that the areas that Satan is opposing us with. But this last scripture I read here, His hands shall also finish it. In other words, God was not given this task to Zerubbabel to start the temple and to quit halfway through. The point was, He's going to give him power and authority from on high to finish the task. And as I mentioned earlier, we want to make heaven our home, don't we? Yes, we do. So by the Lord's help and by His empowerment through the Holy Spirit, we can finish the race that we have started. And there may be some here tonight that have started their race with the Lord. Maybe for the first time, or maybe it's multiple starts. It doesn't matter, folks. God's not a respecter of persons, all right? All He wants to do is give you the good gift of the Holy Spirit to empower you to rise above those things that you once stumbled upon that would cause you to continually go back to the altar. God has power to raise you above that. He can empower, and it's an authority not that you can work up within yourself in some emotion, or you get around a few friends and you work up an emotion, and someone else and another experienced brother or sister, they can encourage you, but they can't give you the power. Because only God knows what's in your heart. God knows your true desires, your intentions, your motives, and as I mentioned earlier, your weaknesses, all those things. And in this case with Zerubbabel, there was a lot of opposition. Remember, there were some letters written and different ones that were coming along saying, oh, well, let us help you build this. He's like, no, that's not going to work either. They thought they had they were trying to offer some, you say, they were giving themselves authorization to help him. And he's like, no. I'm going to do it the way God wanted me to do it, all right? And to think of this great opposition, he faced quite a bit of it. But the conclusion of it was that temple was finished. And to think that if he would have, like I mentioned, halfway through building this temple, saying, guys, this is too much, this is too hard, we just need to take a break. What if they would have just backed off and took maybe a 6-month break? You realize we can't do that in our spirits either, dear ones. You know, the last several months have been challenging for us. For all of us, not able to be in normal worship services. You know, the devil would love for none other than us to just kind of set back and just kind of coast for a while and not finish the task that he's given us. So I'm thankful tonight that Zerubbabel was able to finish that task. And I want to look back at back in Acts again. I want to cover some more. Because the apostles here, they had quite a task at hand. They didn't realize what all was ahead of them. But you remember what happened. In Acts, the second chapter, and it says they were, I'm not going to read these scriptures, I'll just paraphrase, that they were all in one accord in the upper room. They were praying, they were unified in the Spirit. They'd emptied themselves of self and anything that was going to be a hindrance. But notice what happened here. In the 14th verse, this same man, Peter, that was once, dare I say, a weakling spiritually, was empowered with something. If you read the first part of the second chapter, it talks about the Holy Spirit coming. But in the 14th verse, it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." But what's he say here? "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." And he goes on down to verse 21. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So what was happening here is Peter stood up with power and authority. It wasn't given to him by his friends. It wasn't given to him by the other apostles or disciples or by his parents or anyone else. This power, this authority was given by God alone through the unction of the Holy Spirit that inspired him to stand up and begin preaching a powerful gospel message and reminding these dear ones about what the prophet Joel said. He said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." This was, Jesus had been telling his disciples this day was going to come. And they still didn't understand what was going to happen. But this day, folks, they understood. They got the message. And here's the amazing thing. Peter wasn't the only one. There were others speaking before him. It wasn't just Peter. But Peter took the forefront. And he took the leadership position. And he was the one earlier that denied Christ 3 times. And hid himself. We heard about some of that in this meeting. But oh, dear ones, this was a different man. This was a new man that was renewed by the Holy Spirit and empowered to do something he was never able to do before. You ever have places like that in your life? That you've never been able to do something. And God's calling and asking for it like, you know what? The Holy Spirit is the answer, folks. And to think of, he wanted to empower them to be active in performing God's will upon the earth. Not only to live a sin-free life, but to spread the gospel and to demonstrate by their personal everyday lives how to live a holy life, how to live a sin-free life, and how to go about touching and healing different ones just like Jesus did. You see, they were able to receive the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had. And they went about healing different ones and preaching the gospel and casting out devils. They were doing the same thing that Jesus was doing. But that power and that authority wasn't coming from the government. It wasn't coming from their buddies. It wasn't coming from anyone else. But it was coming from God Almighty through the Holy Spirit. I want us to get a hold of that here this evening. To realize we can't make it on our own. We can't muster up enough emotion, enough self-will, enough determination, saying, I'm just going to force my way through that. And I'm going to sit down, I'm going to figure it out, I'm going to calculate it, I'm going to research, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and do this. Oh no, dear ones, we need to ask for the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, I can't do this. What's the scripture say? When I am weak, then am I strong. When we're weak in ourselves, we realize we can't do it on our own. And we hand it over to the Lord. We consecrate it to the Lord. Say, Lord, here's this trouble. That's when the Holy Spirit can come in and start shining its little spotlight in that area that was being a problem in our life. And then it starts, and then it's enlightening us, and then it encourages us, and then re-inspires us. Oh, okay, now I can go about it this way, and it works. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit tonight. Well, I want to read this scripture again, verse 16. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And I've mentioned this to our home congregation a couple of times, but I feel inspired to share it again. I remember, I believe it was 1994, when I was 18 years old, and Brother Mark Sammons brought a message at the Old Tabernacle. And the title of it was, This Is That. Sanctification. And oh, I've listened to that message several times. It's online, by the way. And every time I listen to it, it just re-energizes me. And it's not because it's Brother Mark Sammons. The Holy Spirit is reverberating within my heart, the same Spirit that Brother Mark Sammons had. And Brother Mark Sammons wasn't given that power by anyone else, but by the Holy Spirit. And to listen to that message, and he was speaking to the young people that night, and he was basically calling the young people to give themselves fully to the Lord and just see what God can do with you. Now, I'm not going to try to preach Brother Mark's message tonight. That's not my point. But it was something because it was personal. Because I was seeking for the Holy Spirit. And you know what? That wasn't just the first time. I kept going back for it. I was saved, but I sought for the Holy Spirit and I felt like I had it. But then there were some other things. I'm like, man, that's kind of confusing. I don't understand this. But I would go back and I would ask and say, Lord, can you reveal some more to me? And you know what? God would reveal some more to me. But it's only when I would pay attention to maybe the messages that were going forth, or I'd pay attention to the scriptures I was reading and in devotions or in my prayer life, and maybe listen to testimonies and all these things, and God starts imparting. He starts using the Holy Spirit to shine His spotlight in areas of my lives that I was needing to move up on, all right? And then also given a divine revelation of what being sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit meant for me personally. But it was a process. You can say it this way. Salvation, many times we think of it as with Apostle or Saul, before he became Apostle Paul, it was instantaneous. He got saved. It happened right then. And I believe he was filled with the Spirit before he left there as well. But I also believe, you can even read Paul's writings, that he had to continually reconsecrate himself to the Lord. As the Lord gave him more light and understanding, he had to go back and say, Lord, I need more of your Spirit. Lord, I need to consecrate this to you. Lord, I need to give myself fully to you. Lord, I need to empty of self over here. You see, it's a process of perfecting us, making us complete and whole until we are a complete work. Just like the temple that Zerubbabel was working on. A complete work, a structure that can glorify God, that God can use in His service. That's what He's wanted to do with you and I, to perfect us and complete us as He designs. You know, He had a design for that temple, and they had to follow those designs. And when they followed that, it worked, and God, they were able to use it in their worship to the Lord, and it glorified God. Dear ones, there are instructions for our lives here tonight, and it's found in the Holy Scriptures. But we need the Holy Spirit, as the Scriptures say in the Gospels, to be our guide, to be our teacher. Jesus is promising that I'll send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be your guide, to be your teacher each and every day, every one of us individually. Collectively, this is wonderful, dear ones. But when we go back home, do you know what the Holy Spirit can do? It can remind us of something we heard in this meeting, or something someone told us, or a song that we sang, or whatever the case is. And the Holy Spirit can just drop that in our hearts and our minds at any point when we're open to it and when we're asking for it. You understand what I'm saying? And that may be the very thing that we need to get a victory in our heart and our life that day. There may be a temptation, a snare that the devil had placed in our life that one particular day and say, I'm gonna figure out a way to oppose this brother or this sister, and I want to discourage them. But if we've been paying attention and listening to the Holy Spirit, He could have dropped a song or a scripture on our heart and on our mind that we had it already. And here comes Satan, and I can use this scripture, I can use this song or this thought. And we're able to resist the devil, and then he flees from us. And guess what? We have the victory. Yeah. We didn't fail the Lord. We didn't sin. We didn't backslide. You understand how this works? That God wants to give this free gift to all of us here. Well, to think of, I remember that night at the altar. That was the beginning of a process. But dear ones, there have been some obstacles in my life since then. But you know what I had to do? I had to go back to the Lord and reconsecrate it to Him. Say, Lord, I have something going on here. I don't know why I keep struggling in these areas. Lord, would you shine your spotlight? As Psalmist David said, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. You see, that's what was so amazing. When Jesus was on the earth, He could go around and He could talk to people, and it's like He could see right through them. He knew exactly what was in their hearts. And He could speak directly. Remember the woman at the well? He knew everything about her. And she didn't have to say a word. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Jesus is not here in the flesh anymore. But the Holy Spirit can walk down these aisles and sit right beside you on your bench tonight and start pinpointing specific things in your heart and in your life that you've been struggling with over and over and over. And you want victory over it, but you don't know what to do. The answer is yielding yourself and asking for the Holy Spirit to be empowered by authority given from God. I believe that God has that available to all of us tonight. Now I want to share a little example of something I experienced physically, personally, I guess you would say, with a couple of vehicles that I've owned over the years. I know there's some mechanics here in the crowd, and when I mention this word, you'll know what I'm talking about. Catalytic converters. I've had a couple of vehicles. I remember the first one I had, this was years ago, and I was still single at the time, and I had a little car that it just was kept losing power. I'm like, man, I don't know what's going on here. It's just not, it used to run pretty good, and but now it's struggling to go up hills, and I just can't, you know, if I pull out to try to pass, I can't really pass. You know, there's not much I can do with it. It just keeps losing power. And I was young and inexperienced. I didn't really know what was going on. And talking to different ones, some of my brothers and others, and finally they said, well, why don't you check out the catalytic converter? I'm like, well, you know, what's that? I didn't even understand what that was at that time. Well, sure enough, we go take it to a shop, and they check it, and yes, it was all plugged up. There's various ways you can fix it. They, of course, recommend putting a new one on. Some just kind of ream them out, clean them out, and put them back on. But the bottom line was, it was cleaned out. And I get back in the car, and I take off, and it's like, whoom, boy, it just takes off. I'm like, that's what I've been missing. That's the power I was looking for again. But you see, it was a gradual process. It just continued to clog up a little more and a little more, and I didn't realize until finally one day I'm like, man, I remember pulling out here before and never had any problems. Well, now I've got some problems. There's something obstructing that. You know, the same thing can happen in our personal lives. Satan can start working behind the scenes and deceiving us and tricking us into partaking of things and just being full of self, just dirty old self. You know, that's what a catalytic converter is. It's like a filter. It just collects all the junk in there, and it just all the carbon builds up and just plugs it up. And the exhaust can't flow freely, and you just lose power. You know, the same thing can happen in our spiritual lives. Yes, we get saved, and we have a zeal for the Lord, and we're going along, and everything's just fine. But then after a while, we just start slowing down and slowing down and slowing down, and we're just barely plugging along. We're like, what's going on? You got some self plugging something up. You've allowed the devil to trick you into some things, to maybe come alongside you, and the devil's and whisper in your ear and say, let me help you with this. Notice the devil can whisper, your enemy can whisper, let me help you with this. Why don't you try this? It's an easier way. Oh, but that's the broad way, remember, that leads to destruction. Why don't you try this? Give him some counsel, or maybe he'll write a letter, so to speak. You know what that means? Maybe it's a text or an email or something from someone that offends us, that hurts us. And all we can do is just stew over that and just think over and say, how could they do that? Oh, that's just terrible. And before long, we notice some power ebbing out of our life. And you realize there's people that we all know today that at one point they had a wonderful salvation experience with the Lord, but they allowed some things to plug up their spiritual channels in their life, whether it was offenses or whether it was selfish things or carnal things, whatever it is, and they didn't invite the Holy Spirit to help shine the spotlight to reveal what those problems are and do some troubleshooting, some power and authority from on high, not just an opinion of someone else, but no, going back to the source, say, Lord, reveal what's going on here. And finally revealing there's something plugging this up. And then the Holy Spirit pointing that out and realizing, yes, that's what it is. But then you know what? It's up to us. Say, okay, do I want to fix it? Or just leave it like it is? No, that's going to cost too much. Nah, I don't want to take the time to do that. And you know, there's people today that do the same thing. They may sit under Holy Spirit-filled messages. And the Holy Spirit shines a spotlight in their life. And they realize they need to move up in some areas. But they say, no, that's going to cost too much. I'd have to change too much. That would take too long. And I'm afraid I can't do that. And they walk away. And they continue losing a little power here and a little more power there. And before long, they're barely just putt-putting along. They're not living to the full potential. You know, that little car I had, it wasn't a race car, but it could move. It was designed for a certain horsepower, for a certain speed, certain RPMs, and all those things. But that clogged up catalytic converter was limiting the potential. It was barely just going along. And it honestly, it was kind of embarrassing. I'm like, I hope no one's watching me. I can't really go anywhere. You know, the same thing can happen to us spiritually. We can be just kind of chugging along. Like, oh, man. Yeah, we're watching. We're not judging. Lord, would you reveal something to them? Lord, would you encourage them? Lord, would you help them to ask for the Holy Spirit to reveal what's wrong? And then ask the Lord to empower them to then take courage to confront that issue and say, yes, Lord, I want that removed out of my life. Whatever it is. Well, you think of back in the day of Pentecost. You know, Peter, he finally got that obstruction removed, didn't he? It was self. It was pride. It was self-empowerment. Because he said, oh, I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll go with you all to the death. Oh, yeah. But that was in his own strength, you see. That was his own thinking. Oh, I can muster up. And you know, no doubt he was a very strong man physically. A fisherman. Could probably grab a net with, I don't know, 100 fish in it with one hand. Just raise it up and sling it up on the boat. No doubt he was a very strong man. But he was trying to use that within himself. And he realized, that's why he went away and he wept bitterly when he failed the Lord. But dear ones, he didn't stop. Even at the point when Peter, after Jesus was crucified and was resurrected, but then he went away and he's like, well, I'm just going to go fishing. He didn't know what else to do. Dear ones, the devil would love for us to say, I'm just going to go fishing and be content with that. But dear ones, Jesus found Peter. He came looking for him. Peter still had a choice. Jesus knew the full potential that Peter had. Jesus knew that Peter could someday, very soon, roar with power like God designed him to do. But Jesus knew that Satan had set a trap. And he was tempting him just to walk away from all of it. I'm just going to go back to fishing. I'm going to throw everything. Just throw in the towel. I'm done. Dear ones, and I want to talk to the young people especially tonight. When you go home and you meet with some opposition and maybe you feel like you failed the Lord on something, don't throw in the towel. Follow the example of what Peter did here. You found him together with the brethren in unity, praying in one accord. Searching and seeking the Lord, saying, look, and Jesus told him to do that. Tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And they obeyed the Lord. Dear ones, we've been given wonderful instructions in this meeting according to the scriptures. It's not just the instruction from the ministers. It's thus saith the Lord. We've been given instruction. Lord, help us to obey. But it's beyond that. Yes, we have to. They went there and they were in one accord praying. But you know what I believe they were doing? They were searching their own hearts. I believe there was some weeping there. There was some true searching there. There was some, Lord, Peter saying, oh, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I need something more here. And that's when the Holy Spirit showed up. Oh, isn't that wonderful tonight? He's not going to cheat us out. He can't lie. This is a good gift he wants to give. And I could just see the Lord looking down upon that room as they're in one accord up there. I could just see him looking down thinking, oh, I'm so anxious to give this to him. Oh, I can't wait till I can give this to him. I can't wait to start seeing some souls being saved, being transformed by the very one Peter that, yes, he denied me, but I'm going to make another man out of him. I'm going to empower him with the Holy Spirit. And that's how Peter was able to stand up with authority and preach the gospel. And never once turned his back on the Lord after that. Never once denied the Lord. He went all the way till he was martyred himself. Crucified upside down. Just to think that God can give us that same Holy Ghost boldness. No, we may not be a martyr physically for the Lord. But there may be some things God will ask us to give up. Or to give to him, or to consecrate to him. You know, Peter had to consecrate some things. He had already quit the fishing business. But you know what? He probably had some other ideas of things when he said, I'm going to go fishing. And he's like, I'm going to go buy me, you know, bigger boat and go do this and do something with my buddies and take a vacation over here and do all these other things. But Jesus wanted him to be fishers of men. He wanted to feed my sheep, is what he told him. Remember? And I believe those are the very words as Peter was praying there in that upper room. He's like, oh, he wants me to feed his sheep. Well, how's this going to happen? Oh, I'm going to be in. Well, maybe this is what he's talking about. And sure enough, that was the enabling power that came to Peter that day. And not just Peter. It was all those that were together together. All those that were willing to obey the voice of the Lord and meet together and wait and ask for the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Well, to think of what happened here. As I mentioned, this was a process, something that they didn't have. I don't think they fully understood, in a sense, how it was going to happen. They just had faith that it would happen. And when it did happen, it was like, oh, we get it. It's like they were enlightened. And dear ones, that's what the Holy Spirit does. It was mentioned the other night that how salvation, it just works. Following the principles and the doctrines laid out in the scriptures, they work. So it is with the Holy Spirit. It works, dear ones. When Brother Mark Sammons was preaching that message, he had already been living a life being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? There were others that night, other young people, my peers that were my age, they also sought the Lord for the Holy Spirit. And you know what? There's still some among us right now. In fact, some of them are ministers. Some of them are teachers. Some of them are trustees. Some of those are just good, solid Christians being light and examples on the job, winning souls, whether it's handing out tracts, whether it's witnessing to people in the grocery store, whatever the case is, but they were endued with power from on high. And it's kept them these 20 plus years. You know, the Holy Spirit can empower us to take us beyond just 5, 10, 15, 20 years. The Holy Spirit can empower us to keep us all the way through till we win that heavenly prize. I'm confident of that because we've known of many that have already died and passed on, and they won their prize. And they weren't just barely chugging along, chugging along, chugging along. No, they were asking, oh, Lord, reveal. Well, Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, what's the hang up here, Lord? I remember I used to be able to do this and this, and now I can't. I've lost some power. And the Lord's saying, all right, I'll set my spotlight down. And he starts revealing to us. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. I want to talk just briefly here about how the Holy Spirit can give us courage and grace to face who we really are. Individually. I'm not talking about grace and courage to face who you are. No. Who I am individually. Who you are yourself. And sometimes it's pretty ugly and scary, isn't it? And sometimes it's like, oh no, there's no way. But what's the scripture say? It's our personal responsibility. When God reveals something to us, we have to seek Him. The scripture says, work out your own salvation, and it doesn't stop there, with fear and trembling. Realizing, I'm going to have to give an account of what God has already revealed to me, and if I've not measured up to it, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to lose out. I'm going to lose some power. I may lose out with the Lord altogether. But the fact of the matter is, the Holy Spirit, the fact that it can work amongst us collectively and individually, and it can go home with us. Think about this, folks. Even if you haven't received salvation or the encouragement or the help that you needed in this meeting, I am confident that the power of the Holy Spirit can reveal it to you next week. He can do it next month. He would rather do it right now, but the point is, if you open your heart and ask for that gift, say, Lord, reveal to me. Lord, I'm struggling. I need some victories, Lord. I'm confident that God will be faithful and give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it's up to you and I to work. You know what that means? That's some effort. And it also means it's a process. It's a process of time, and it's some effort to say, you know what? I got to really buckle down here and after the Holy Spirit's get through his troubleshooting, saying, okay, now, Lord, would you give me the grace? And what's the scripture say? Come boldly to the throne of grace. To realize that once we see ourselves as God sees us, that we then can go boldly to the throne of grace and say, okay, Lord, I see some ugly areas in my life that need some refining. And you know, even sometimes we don't understand how to do the refining process. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is faithful to guide us and to teach us. And I don't know how many times I remember, especially as a young person, even as an adult, but I'll be sitting in a meeting somewhere and someone may be testifying or someone may be preaching or teaching the word or whatever. And there may be one little phrase or one little part of a scripture that may be totally off subject of what they're talking about. But the Holy Spirit comes by because I'm searching and I'm asking. The Holy Spirit comes by and says, that's it, Butch. That's what I want you to work on. I'm like, wow. And the person speaking never knew it, didn't know anything about it. But the Holy Spirit did, and I did. But it's up to me to respond to that. I could ignore it. I could shrug it off and say, no, again, that's going to cost too much. That's too much work. That's too much effort. Dear ones, it's going to start clogging you up spiritually. And before long, you're going to be really struggling. And you may lose out with the Lord altogether if you don't pay attention and work on these issues as God reveals it to us. But I want to turn and read a scripture. Talked about giving us courage and grace. But you know, we're also going to need some strength to endure. I want to read a couple of scriptures in Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31. He says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Now let's just be honest with ourselves here tonight. The last 4 months, have you felt faint in your soul? Weary? You know, there's a scripture in Daniel that talks about the enemy of our souls trying to wear out the saints of the Most High. You know, the devil would love none other than just to wear us out. Like we wake up in the morning and think, oh, another day I got to face this stuff again. I got to hear these people talk about that, and I got to face this issue over here, and I got to struggle with this over there, and I'm just weary of it. And then maybe there's our own personal issues that we have to deal with. Like, I'm weary of that too. But what does the scripture say? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. It's strength to endure. Now let's get these next two verses. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You know what that means? That's somebody in their prime, so to speak. That's somebody that's on the mountaintop that is filled with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, and everything's just clicking along, but all of a sudden, something happens, and it's like, it's like, whoa, what's going on here? It's called being a human. That's what it is. But let's not give up on ourselves. Let's not give up on the Lord. Let's realize that God has, He's designed us to be an overcomer, more than an overcomer. He designed us to have power. He designed us to have victory. He designed us to make heaven our home. Don't you think He has the grace and the power available to enable us to do that? Then why did He give us all these promises? Oh, dear ones, it's because He wants to make true on every single promise to us. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, that's what they were doing in the upper room there. They were waiting on the Lord. They were seeking His face collectively. We can do it individually or it doesn't matter. But the key is, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their... In other words, their expectation was upon the Lord. The authority that He could give. Not from anyone else. But the authority that He could give. To give them power to renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Have you ever ran a race and by the time... Well, I'll just say it this way. When I race anymore, I don't make it very far. There was a time I could keep up with most of them. But my legs get a little wobbly, a little shaky now, and they get weary. But isn't it amazing if all you do is you just rest a little bit, and then you can pick up and go along and go some more? But you know, when you're running a race, you don't just stop and say, ah, that's enough, and you start walking back the other direction. No. When you're running a race, if you're going to fall, at least fall forward, and then get back up again and say, nope, I'm going to finish that race. What's the scripture say? Looking at a Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Dear ones, we have to keep looking forward. I believe God has the power to enable us that if we do stub our toes, so to speak, and we stumble along the way, but scripture also says a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Dear ones, if you have thrown in the towel, or if you have said, I'm just going to quit, I can't do it, or I'm fixing to quit, or maybe you have stumbled and you failed and you've made a big mess of things, dear ones, I want to encourage you here tonight. Ask for the Holy Spirit to empower you to rise up again and continue moving forward and to finish this race till it is complete. And even to finish what God is working in you until He can make a vessel out of you that He can use in His service at whatever capacity. Well, strength. And what's it say? To not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That means we can keep right on going. It doesn't mean that we're going to get discouraged along the way and we just kind of sit back and just kind of take it easy and see everyone else passing us. And like, oh, hi, all right, bye. Oh, wow, they're doing good. Oh, think about this, folks. We can be joining that race together. We can be running alongside each other and encouraging one another. That's what these meetings are about. We're running this race together, and we're running alongside each other saying, come on, guys, we can do it. Yeah, we can finish this race. And the Holy Spirit, that's how He encourages us collectively. That's why we have these meetings. That's why the Holy Spirit has been working and moving in mighty ways. And I'm so thankful for that here tonight. But God wants to do that for us individually too, when we leave this place. And here's another verse to think about, not only being strengthened, but to be filled with His power. There's a scripture in 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1 and 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And that last phrase, a sound mind, also means self-discipline. In other words, sometimes you got to be tough on yourself. Like, oh no, I enjoy doing this, or I want to do that. But if the Holy Spirit says, no, that's been your problem, over and over and over, like, oh, but I kind of like that. Well, do you want victory or not? I mean, it's pretty simple. But the devil would love to deceive us and say, oh, no, 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 don't listen to that. And he wants to come alongside us just like they did to Zerubbabel and say, let me help you with that. You see, he's pretty sneaky. He's like, no, you don't really have to do that. You just do this over here and you'll be okay. You don't need to get rid of that. You don't need to take care of it. You don't need to. Oh, dear ones, the devil is a liar and the father of them. You can't listen to him. We must seek the Lord in our upper room. We must empty out of self. Say, Lord, search me. What's going on here? Why is my spiritual life clogged up here? I'm not living to my full potential. I know I'm not. And Lord, I want to be used of you at whatever capacity. Oh, that's music to the Lord's ears when he hears that prayer. And he's so anxious. Oh, I want to give this good gift. I could just see the Lord and his excitement on that day of Pentecost. And to realize what he was looking forward to, not just to empower them with the Holy Spirit, but he was looking forward to the several thousand that were fixing to be saved. And not just then, but the days and years and centuries after that, the millions that might be saved. Because he said, the whosoever will can be saved. That's the amazing power of the Holy Spirit. That it can talk to someone 5,000 miles from here. That we don't even know their name, we don't know who they are, and we don't have to. But the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly what they are struggling with at this moment. Just as the Holy Spirit knows what we are struggling with right now too. But the Scripture says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I want to talk about fears just for a little bit. And I'm going to share I've shared it with the local folks a little bit before too. But I'll be honest with you, I feared the very thing I'm doing here tonight. That was one of the reasons I didn't want to get sanctified. I'll just be honest with you. I didn't want to come, it's like, I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to be a missionary. I don't want to, you know, because I was terrible at public speaking. My face would turn red. I'd stumble over my words. I'd get embarrassed and I'd just sit down. Make a big fool of myself. But I was trying to figure that out on my own. I was trying to figure out my life on my own. Well, this is what I want to do, or that's what I want to do. The Scripture says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. But dear ones, I found that once I fully consecrated my life to the Lord, it wasn't magic. It's called the power of God. Delivered me from all those fears. Now guess what? Years later, when God actually started talking to me about preaching, guess what happened? Those fears came back. I'm like, whoa. And you know what happened? I ignored the Holy Spirit dealing with me on that. I did for 3 years. I'm like, no. You got the wrong person, Lord. You made a big mistake. Do you know who I am? And the Lord's saying, I created you. Of course he does. I'm like, no, Lord. Do you know who I am? Lord say, yes. He's like, I just want you to be a useful vessel in my hands. Like, okay, Lord, I just consecrate that little part right there. And little by little, the Lord kept revealing things to me. Till ultimately, well, it was even several months leading up to, prior to me actually preaching, my life was starting to clog up spiritually. Things just started falling apart in my life. One thing after another. I'm like, Lord. And I would pray before the Lord. I'd seek the Lord and say, Lord, what's going on here? You know what? Every single time, the Holy Spirit would bring scriptures or things that other people would say that had no clue that God was calling me to preach. But God sent them my way through the unction of the Holy Spirit to say specific words that I knew exactly. They didn't know what they were saying, but the Holy Spirit's saying, that's for you, Butch. I'm like, oh, okay. Let me go home and think on that. But little by little, the Lord started chipping away at those fears. Had to consecrate it. Now, let me fast forward here a little bit. Do you realize just because I've been preaching for a while doesn't mean I still don't have fears? It's natural. It's normal. But the scripture says here, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. You know what has happened? It's like, Lord, I love you so much because you have done so much for me that I am willing to do whatever you want me to do. That is genuine love. And when you seek the Lord with those type of prayers and that type of openness and honesty before the Lord, saying, Lord, I want some more of you. You've done so much for me. Lord, what else do you want in my life? Lord, what else is clogging up and causing me to struggle? You know, the Lord will reveal it to you. And you know, there was another thing I was fearful of. I was fearful of severe afflictions. I'm just being honest with you tonight. Because I would see different ones have, I'm like, wow, man, that's, you know, Lord have mercy, and the Lord will heal them, and some, in the process of time, they still die. You know, I'm like, well, okay, I remember my grandpa McMillan, Brother Veda McMillan, had such a lot of faith. God healed him of many things. He should have died way before his time, different times. But God would heal him, raise him up again. I'm like, oh, man, that's amazing. I can't do that. But I was fearful. I'm just being honest with you. Then the Lord sent a heart attack my way. Maybe I brought it on myself. Whatever the case was, I had a heart attack. But I had a choice to make. And I was doing some soul searching. And it wasn't anyone else could make that choice for me, dear ones. It is a personal experience with the Lord. I can't tell you what to do when you face something, and you can't tell. We can encourage one another. But when it comes down to it, it is a personal revelation from God and the Holy Spirit itself. And I remember that night. I can't explain it. But when I was crying, Lord, spare my life. Lord said, I got you. You know, such a peace came over me. I wasn't fearful of death. And I had some difficult days ahead, thinking it was going to happen again. But dear ones, it's only by the grace of God that I'm standing up here tonight. It's not my power and it wasn't your power. It was God. And it taught me a lesson. That if you truly consecrate yourself to the Lord, He can remove any fears that you have of anything. Because, dear ones, I feared that. But God took all that fear away. You know, it may be 10 years from now, there may be something else I face where some more fears come up. You know, quite frankly, we can have some fears of the future, whether it be of our lives or of this nation. And the devil can ensnare us and to bog us down and to where we're not living to the full potential. And we start losing that power and that momentum and we start backing off. We're like, I don't know if I can finish this race. But if we start digging in saying, Lord, reveal to me what's going on here. It may be as simple as I'm listening too much to the news. You understand what I'm saying? Just simple things like that. And I can't tell you how to live your life. You can't tell me how to live mine. But God knows how much is enough. Of whatever it is, whatever He can pinpoint in your individual life, God knows what you can handle and God knows what you can't. And God knows why you're struggling. God knows why you haven't fully consecrated to the Lord yet, because you're maybe fearful of being a missionary someday. Or fearful that you might have to teach or preach. Or be a trustee. or be just a solid Christian and a shining light on the job, and to witness to souls, whatever it may be, or to be a prayer warrior. You see what I'm saying? Dear ones, be willing to consecrate all of your fears, all of your doubts to the Lord. And God will do the rest. Yes, we have to take the initiative to get up and to go on. There's a song that says, and again, this is a process, says, all of self and none of thee. That's where it starts out. We're just full of self. And then it moves on. Some of self and some of thee. Well, it's getting better. It's starting to remove some of those obstructions, those things that are hindering us from just bursting forth with power. And then it's less of self and more of thee. Until finally it's none of self and all of thee. That's when we're living and prospering to the full potential that God designed us for. And dear ones, do you believe that is possible for you tonight? I do. And to think of the fears. What are we afraid of tonight? Let's not limit God. We can. We can limit God and say, no, not right now. No, I'm not ready for that. I went through that process too. And you know, I come to regret those times because I lost some precious time that I could have been further down the road. I could have been several victories on down the road, but no, I was too stubborn, too thick-headed, whatever the case was, to not consecrate, not give that to the Lord, and not invite Him to search my life and to get rid of self, whatever it was. I just like, nah, not right now. It's going to cost too much. I can't give that up. Folks, have you lost some power? You're running out of steam? Are you getting weary? Are you getting faint? There's another little illustration. You know, sometimes we think we're consecrating or giving ourselves to the Lord, and we're giving whatever issue it is to the Lord, but yet we're giving it to Him. We're like handing it to Him, but yet we're holding on to the backside of it. We kind of give Him part of it, and we're kind of hanging on to it over here. It's like, here you go, Lord. But you're still kind of holding. Think of it this way. A little boy had a big ball of string, and it was all in a big mess. It was all tangled up. His father comes by and says, well, let me help you untangle that. He's like, okay. And he hands him one end of the string, and the father's like, I can't untangle it if you just give me this end. He's like, I need the whole ball of string. And it wasn't until he gave the whole ball of string, both ends, no strings attached, just gave the whole thing to his father, then he could untangle it. Then he could make it into what it was supposed to be. You know, the same thing can happen in our lives. We may give the Lord just part of something, or a little bit of this and a little bit of that. The Lord's saying, no, I want it all. I want everything. Yes, God is a jealous God, but He has a right to be a jealous God. Because He loves us so much, He's willing to do anything and everything to get us saved and to keep us saved and to help us make it to heaven someday. And in the same process, help everyone else make it to heaven. You see how this works? That's what He was doing with the disciples. Yes, it was a personal thing. It was an individual thing. But He also had thoughts and hopes and plans of it being a collective thing. That they would go out and be witnesses of the gospel, preaching the word, teaching the word. You know, God wants us to do that too. And He may not call you to be a preacher. But you know what? You can preach a Holy Ghost message by living it out in front of somebody. On your job, at home, with your neighbors, with family, it doesn't matter. There is power in the gospel. We've heard about that in this meeting, haven't we? But the Holy Spirit can reveal how God can use you to do that. But it can be a process. But I want us to be encouraged. I want to read one more scripture. Romans 8, as we're closing here. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He searcheth the hearts and knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Dear ones, tonight, the Holy Spirit is searching, and it's looking, and it's trying to find a home in someone's heart tonight to abide there, not just for a few days or a few weeks or a few months, but for a lifetime, to enable us, to empower us, to complete the task at hand, that we live and we build, so to speak, a spiritual temple that is complete before the Lord, that is able to be used as God designs it to be used, and then we can live to the full potential that God has designed us for, not just to be half throttle and half the horsepower and half the speed. That doesn't bring much glory to the Lord, does it? But to have someone like Peter that can stand up and a Holy Ghost boldness and preach the gospel like he never could before. You realize God can do that for you and I here tonight? The things you never thought you could do because you've been trying on your own strength, God can enable you and empower you, not by the authority given by anyone else, but by the authority of the Holy Spirit from the throne of God, can empower you and enable you to overcome any obstacle, to cast out all those fears where they just melt away. I don't know where those fears went. They just disappeared. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit can do that for you too here tonight. And you know, it can even be a fear of going to an altar of prayer and thinking, oh, what are they going to think? I've already been to the altar. I've never been to the altar. Whatever the case is, Satan would love nothing other than for us to just live in fear. And we grow stagnant. And we never move forward. We never ask for the searchlight. We never move up when God asks us to move. We never consecrate when God asks us to consecrate. And when the Holy Spirit speaks something personally to us saying, oh no, not now, that's too much, or I can't handle that. Dear ones, that's in your own power. That's the problem. That's when you need to turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm giving it all to you right now. My fears, my doubts, my struggles, my hang-ups, my failures. That's another, the fear of failures. Yes, those two. Give them all to the Lord. And just watch and see what God can do with you. To empower you to do something you never thought possible. What's the scripture say? With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You pray for me, I'll be faithful to the Lord.